There is a legend, again, we don't know if the legend is true or not. There's a legend that Rashi left France and spent 7 to 10 years touring the world, the Jewish world. Many scholars say that that legend is completely untrue, that Rashi never left France for a moment in his lifetime. But part of the underpinnings of the legend is to try and explain how Rashi became so universally accepted in such a short period of time. Because Jews are not that way. Jews are not a very accepting people. And especially to accept something from someone who is not my compatriot, not my kinsman, doesn't come from the same place that I do, we may have different customs. It takes a long time. We saw that the works of the Rambam took almost 100 years to gain acceptance. And that some of the works of the Rambam remained controversial for hundreds of years afterwards. Rashi gained acceptance immediately. Another point that has to be mentioned regarding Rashi and Rashi's commentaries. Rashi foresaw the long, bitter exile. The verse in Psalms that says, "Lule Torascha Shashuai," if it would not be for your Torah, which has become to me a source of play and of joy, "Ozavadati Beonyi," then I would have long been lost in my afflictions, in my trouble. So King David said that on a personal level, that if he would not have had his faith, if he would not have had the greatness of Torah with him, he lived such a difficult life, he had so many disappointments, he would have been lost. But that verse refers to the Jewish people also. If it would not have been for the Torah that we had, the scholarship of the Torah, the fact that Jews had a place, an inner place to escape to, where they could be Jewish at all times, where they could recharge their battery, so to speak, they could refurbish within themselves their own self-esteem after a day of being crushed by the outside world, they had a place to withdraw to where their greatness could be apparent, so then the Jewish people would have also disappeared long ago. And Rashi saw, therefore, that Torah was the only weapon of the Jewish people. And that explains to us the great dichotomy between Ashkenazic Jewry and Sephardic Jewry in relationship to philosophy or any other secular studies. Rashi knew astronomy, but he never studied astronomy. Rashi knew mathematics. Rashi has a whole piece in the Talmud where he explains the formula of pi r squared, how to circle a cube, how to get the diameter. Rashi explains all of that, but Rashi figured it out himself. Rashi never saw a mathematics book. Rashi is not a linguist, even though in Rashi itself there appears a few thousand old French words. But Rashi is not a linguist. And Rashi and Ashkenazic Jewry generally were only interested in Torah. That's all. Torah has everything. There's no necessity to have anything else. And therefore, among the Jews of France and of Germany and later of Eastern Europe, the knowledge of the secular world made very little penetration until the time of the Enlightenment. You did not have the same type of Jew that you had in Spain during the Golden Age. You did not have people who were interested in Aristotle or in Aquinas or in Averroes, or that were interested in astronomy or wrote secular poetry. All the poetry of Ashkenazic Jewry is purely religious poetry, and most of it is morbid. Most of it is either penitential poetry, slichos, or kinos, elegies, regarding terrible events that occur.